Welcome to Family Worship Center, where you're blessed and highly favored. I think you're ready to worship God tonight. This is what I was driving here, and it says, enter his gates with what? Thanksgiving. And enter his courts with praise. Are you ready to praise him tonight? Hallelujah. Lift up his name and praise him. So would you stand with me? I don't have too much to announce. Listen, I encourage you, though, to come on Wednesday night. If you don't have any other things to do, we have prayer. God meets us here, amen, at prayer. The Lord said two things that he moves in, prayer and the Word of God. He moves in those things, amen, if we settle ourselves. So I just encourage you, we have a great time Wednesday nights, don't we? Worshiping and praising the Lord and just praying and waiting upon him. It begins at 6:30 on Wednesday night. And also there's youth group that night for our junior high. And it's fun, right, girls? It's fun. Kristen and Liz, they take our kids and they just have a wonderful time. I just encourage you tonight, church, to be desperate for him. Stir up what is within you. We have to be desperate for him, wanting more of him. I encourage you to take another step closer tonight. Drink from his well that never runs dry. There are greater encounters with God, and expect an encounter. We have to expect an encounter from God. Have an appetite for more of him. Listen, Pastor Chris and I, we just don't sit home and twiddle our thumbs and wait till the next service. We cultivate and we wait on God. There's such a desperation within us that we want more. We're not satisfied with last week. Message, we want something new. We need an encounter with God. Matthew 5:6, you all know it. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. You have to hunger, church. You have to hunger and want it. So, Father, we just lift up our offerings to you tonight, Lord God. We come before you, Father. We just say thank you, Lord God, as we enter into your gates, Lord God. We enter into your courts tonight with praise and worship and thanksgiving upon our lips, Lord God. We give you all the praise that is due your name. We thank you for our worship team. We thank you for our pastor, Lord God. We thank you for our children, Lord God. We thank you for the blessed and mighty people of God that are in this house tonight. Lord, meet us here. In the name of Jesus, meet us here tonight, that we encounter you tonight, Lord, that we have such a greater revelation tonight, Lord God. Open yourself up to us like never before, God, in Jesus' mighty name. Go wave hi to somebody or greet somebody. Amen.
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty? And so much stronger, the King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the horror with holy thunder, who leaves us breathless in all in wonder, the King of glory, the King above all. That you would bear my cross, you would lay down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Chaos back into order, who makes the orphan a son and daughter, the King of glory, the King above all kings, who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance.
Now I worship you. Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. darkness, God.
Jesus, Jesus.
You're my healer, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Jesus, Jesus.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you,
Jesus, Jesus.
Heavenly Father, God, Lord, I thank you, God. There's no greater name than your name, God. Lord, we just stand here, God, Lord, in awe of your name, God. No other name, no other name like your name, God. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you for your might. We thank you for your power, God, that you are the God of breakthrough, God. You're the God of deliverance, God. You are a healer, God. Lord, we thank you, God. You desire each one of us, God, to know you, hallelujah, to know you, God. Lord, so today, God, Lord, right here, right now, God, Lord, we let you arise, God, in our midst, God. Let God arise and all the enemies will be scattered, hallelujah. Come on, let God arise and his enemies be scattered. So we just declare the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody say, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Shout the name of Jesus. Come on, amen. Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus. Hallelujah. We praise your name, God. You break the power of darkness. We thank you for that, God. Hallelujah. You loosen us, God. You've loosened us, God. You loosen us, God. We thank you for that, God. Any weariness right here in this house, God, let it be loosened in your name, Jesus, hallelujah. We call upon your name, Jesus, hallelujah. Whatever depression, we call upon the name of Jesus. Whatever sickness, we call upon the name of Jesus, hallelujah. In any poverty, we call upon the name of Jesus, God. There's none greater, there's none greater, there's none greater than the name of Jesus. Come on, give him praise. Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise your name. You may be seated, children. Go to the class. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Woo. God's good. Come on, God's good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise. Thank you, praise team. Come on, hallelujah. Amen. God's good. He's good. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I pray tonight that you just be impressed by this spectacular God that we serve. He is beyond words. He is marvelous. He's spectacular. He's tremendous. There's words that cannot describe the greatness of our God. Come on, amen. I want you to know, listen to me, if you don't, I just pray that you just break through, hallelujah, right here. Just take a moment right now as the praise team sits. And I just want us just to close our eyes and just, I want us to recognize the greatness of our God. Come on, amen. Just let your hearts, amen. The Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Come on, amen. And sometimes, say sometimes, things distract us to keep us from waiting upon the Lord. Do you know the enemy? Listen to me. He wants to distract you from waiting upon the Lord. From you waiting, hallelujah, for God to do something in your life. Amen. See, if he could distract you from the rallying point, hallelujah, from where God's going to move in your life, that he would distract you from that place of being in him, recognizing, being aware of him, hallelujah. Because God never leaves, but my awareness of God, come on, amen, can be smothered by things around me. Come on, amen. So I want you to do this. I want you to recognize it. I want us to right here that we wait upon the Lord and to be strengthened right here. God, Lord, I have nothing to say in my own self. God, Lord, whatever might be distracting, whatever is trying to compete for attention in my life. Come on, I want you to hear this. Saints of God, I want you to hear and know that there is a battle going on for your attention. The enemy wants to kill, steal, and destroy. But God wants to give you life
God wants your attention. Hear me. God wants your attention. God wants your attention. God wants you to stay alert and aware of who He is right now. Come on, amen. Because there's a lot of things that seem big, but nothing is bigger than God. There's nothing greater than God. The only problem is sometimes what you know, God is still God. He's always God. He will be God. But in that moment of my life right here, I can become aware of the greatness of God. Amen. All through the Word of God, the Gospel, we've seen moments where that God, when God showed up, hallelujah, whatever the problem was, God was bigger than that. You know that? See, God wants you to let Him show up and arise in the midst of whatever you're going through. There's nothing bigger. There's nothing greater. We just have to let God arise. I have to let God be God. I let my problems become big. I let addictions take me over. I let whatever those things become big. But God says, let me arise. Just let me arise in the midst of your moment right here. Whatever it is, in the midst of your storm, let me arise. Just be aware that I'm here. Say He's here. Right now in this moment, He's here. I want you to receive it right now. God's touching hearts right now in this place. The Bible says that He's present. There is present, that God's presence is where here. That we need to be aware of it and awaken to it. Because when you are, victory is here. It's here to take it. God's already defeated every foe, every enemy. I have to stand in and believe in it and recognize it. The greatness of God. Greatness of God. God wants me to walk with Him, Randy, and recognize His greatness of every step. The Bible says this. It tells me that blessed are those that bring good news. Blessed are those that bring good news. Hallelujah. That those that bring good news, that bring the language of heaven. Huh? Their steps are ordered of God. Blessed are your steps. That God wants to bless your steps. Come on, amen. Every step that you go, God wants to be in front of your steps. Hallelujah. That no matter what comes your way, God wants to invade it before it even gets to you. That there's such an awareness of God in your life. Listen, there's some things that we're not ready for tomorrow. We don't know. But God wants to get in front of that if we let Him. God wants to get, there's nothing. I want you to hear this. I feel that someone's got to hear this. That God, there's nothing in front of you that's greater than God. That is, whatever might come your way, things come in life, but God wants you to know nothing is greater than Him. So today, know that He's God. Right now. And be still. Be aware. Recognize He's your God. Say He's my God. You don't know Him as my God, don't walk out this place without it. Life is big. Problems are real. But greater is He that's in me than whatever the world can serve me. He's greater than me. I want you to hear this. Last week we talked about God's perspective, and I want to take to that heaven's language. It's the name of the servant. Say heaven's language. I need to know the language of heaven. I need to know. The Bible says that the heavens opened and a voice came forth. They said, "This is my beloved Son." Say, "This is my beloved Son." Do you know what the next part says? It says, "Hear Him." I have it underlined, but I just didn't recognize it. It's in Luke 9:35. I want you to check this out because you might not know this. You might not have recognized this just like I didn't. How many guys know this? It's so important. We read, God amazes me. I think I know the Word of God. And God says, "Wait here, I'm going to slip this in." See, because here's the secret. Come on. Listen, every one of us got to read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, a couple times a year. You know why? Here's why. I want you to see this. Because as we read this, we recognize the language of heaven through Jesus Christ. We recognize the actions of the Father, the demonstration, the image of who God is and what He looks like, what He acts like. How did He present Himself? Through Jesus Christ. So all through the Gospels, you see that in your... Oh my gosh. Okay, that's how He deals with sickness. Okay, that's how He deals with death. Okay, that's how He deals with demons. He don't accept it, but He rebukes them. He casts them out. He don't accept it. So there came a voice out of heaven. He said, "This is my beloved Son. Hear Him." This is what I want us to hear. Hear Him. Say, "Hear Him." God's talking. Say, "He's talking." Hear Him. Man, that just arrested me today. God says, "Listen, I want you to hear Him. I want you to hear the language of heaven. I want you to hear the language of heaven. I want you to hear this and know that, listen to me, the earth doesn't speak the same as heaven. It doesn't have the same language. And I need to know what heaven's saying. I need to listen to the language of heaven, the heavenly language. I want you to make sense to you. I want you to grab this. So the Bible says in Matthew 19:16. I want you to check this out. Got some scriptures. I didn't know where I was going, and this morning I woke up and a couple of things were in my heart just bouncing around off this noggin. Because I don't understand something sometimes. I want you to get this and know that I'm desperate to hear from God and to find out what God's saying. Because some life comes at you. And I got to be prepared. I know that one of the workers that I work with, he fell and he got really hurt on Monday. He was 60-some years old and he fell and he broke 10 ribs. He punctured his lung and he fractured his orbital in his eye. And he broke his jaw and he broke his back. And the thing that hit me was I was the guy that was in charge of that job, and it just really was tough. But my wife says, "You know, how about if you weren't there?" Because I know what I was doing the whole way to the hospital with him. Just praying. But in those moments that I want you to get this. Sometimes things come at you in life. And it's real. But God never leaves you. And He's present. He's desiring at those moments of devastation to say, "Look at me. Look at me. This is hard for a moment, Chris, but I want you to look at me. Come on. Give me your attention. Because you will get swept away. You will get overwhelmed. But I want you to look at me." See, because if you look at me, you're going to get caught up in my love for you. I want you to be aware of me. This might have happened, but I'm still God. Still God. I don't always understand things that happen or things that I can't always explain. We want to explain things. I can't always explain things. But one thing I could say is He's God. And He's great. And He's good. He's merciful. He desires you to be overwhelmed with Him. Matthew 19:16, and this is a scripture that we all know, the rich young ruler. And I said that things are competing in our lives. We're competing for things. And he says, "And behold, one of them came unto him." He said, "Good master." "What good things shall I do that I might inherit eternal life?" I want you to see that he was seeking God for something. He was seeking God that where he was, he needed something more. See, I want us all to know that, listen, God wants us to seek Him, but to go to a next level. Because sometimes we're okay where we are, but God's not okay with that. Because life comes at you, things come at you, and you got to know Him in different ways every day of your life. God wants to be you to be aware of who He is. Not the same as yesterday, but God wants to be your daily bread. God wants to be your life. God wants you to consume Him that you can live. Not get by. Come on, not just get by. Not just get through the moment. But no, live. Live abundantly with His riches. So here's this guy. He comes through this moment. He said, hey, good master. He said, listen, what do I do to inherit eternal life? How do I get through? And he said, why do you call me good master? You're looking for something good. I want you to know that Jesus is telling him, I'm that good thing you're looking for. I am the good thing. Tell your neighbor He's the good thing. And he says, why do you call us me good? He says, there's no good thing but God. I am the good thing. He says, and he said to him, and Jesus, he says, thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Those are all the commandments. Amen. Come on, every one of them. And guess what he says? Yeah, I'm there. You're not there, brother. Sometimes if we feel like we're there, we got to stop. And you need to get desperate for God. Because you're not there. See, he was okay with where he was. He thought, well, man, I've done all these things. But God is continually talking. I want you to hear that he became hard of hearing. This is what I want us to get. Everyone wants to. He became hard of hearing because he came to a place where he couldn't hear. Because the next thing that Jesus says, he says, sell what you have. I want you to know that, listen, he was okay where he was. He turned off what God was saying. Don't turn off what God's saying to you right here tonight. Don't say, well, I have enough for this. No, no. I want you to be desperate. I want us to be desperate for God, that we're hungry for God, that there are newness in my heart. That, man, I want to experience the greatness of God. I want to walk in the wonder of who you are. I want to walk in the marvel, God, of my God is great, and he's holy, and he's righteous, and he's good. I want to experience that every single day. And all of a sudden, he came to a place where he became hard of hearing, where they turned Jesus off. Because Jesus explained to him, there's something else. Listen, I want you to know, say next level. We cannot be okay where we are. We got to be desperate for more. America is okay being where they are. They're not desperate for God. Forgive us. I want to be desperate for God. Because he's worthy. So this guy says, he says, and he said to me, he says, I've continued. He says, and Jesus said to him, I will. He said, how do I become perfect? How do I become complete? I want you to know Jesus completes you. Every answer that you're looking for is found in your love for Jesus. Every single answer on earth that we're looking for is found in my love for Christ. That's where it's found. And he said, but the young man heard. He says, the young man heard. And he went away sorrowful. He didn't hear his hearing. He didn't hear. He didn't hear. He heard it, but he didn't hear it. You know why? Because he had great possessions. He was distracted. This is where I want us to hear tonight. I don't know how far we're going to go, but this is what it is. The enemy, and you know what? The biggest challenge I have sometimes is in this church and church as being a preacher is telling you that there's distractions out there. The enemy attacks us. From telling you to be aware. From challenging you to go next level. We could just be a church, just go ooh, with the flow. I can't do that. I know that you don't want that. That's an easy way, but that's the easy way to admit. But listen to me. See, because I'm aware that I know that it takes something for us to remove the distractions out of our lives personally. You got to do that. Listen, we have a garden that my wife, she has a garden. My daughter and her have a garden that they have a garden that they planted seeds, but they have kind of been neglectant of it. Good thing I'm not in charge because I would have never looked at it, but they tried. But sometimes they have been overwhelmed, distracted by things around them. And all these other things began to compete. Hear me tonight. Hear me. Hear my heart. For that soil. For those things that you planted. See, the enemy tries to distract you from what is planted in your heart. In the soil of your heart. The Word of God. He wants to distract you from letting it grow. Letting it thrive. from letting it burst out of you. Come on, amen. And be what God has called it to be. But everything else will challenge it. It's trying to disrupt the soil. It's trying to live from that same soil that's competing for that same thing. To live from that same place. It's in that place that all the nutrients, it's trying to suck it up. And you wonder why you're weary. Because there's other things that have distracted you to take away, hallelujah, your focus on who He is. And we got to pull some things. The Bible says that we're called to pull up and to cast out. And we do that by the Word of God. To cast out, to pull up, to get things out that aren't supposed to be there. Sometimes there's fear. Sometimes there's those things. I'm not meant to let anything in my life that Jesus doesn't let. Because He's in me. I cannot let anything except anything. Whatever Jesus did not accept in His life, I can't accept in mine. Am I making sense? But verse 21, He says, I have treasure in heaven. He says, thou hast given to the poor. He says, thou shalt have treasure in heaven. He says, come and follow me. Come. But here's the distraction. And it says, but when the young man heard this, he went his own way. Then Jesus said unto His disciples, verily I say unto you, that this rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of God. Rich men cannot enter into the kingdom of God. It's hard. It's not impossible, but it's hard. Because there's so many things competing for the same soil. God will not compete for your attention. He's wondrous. He's glorious. He's magnificent. He doesn't compete for you to love Him. He's already done everything to show you. Everything. For God so loved the world, He gave everything. There's no competition, nothing greater than that. And this is a prayer. This is something. What is it you want to be to me? This is our prayer to God. What is it that you want to be to me that you couldn't be before? See, hear what I'm saying? What is it that you want to be to me, God, that you couldn't be to me before? See, because maybe I was distracted yesterday. But God says, today I want to be this to you. Come on, amen. I want to be more to you today. To get beyond this distraction, we say, God, Lord, what is it, God, Lord, that you want to be to me? What is it that I'm not letting you be to me that I need you to let me be? Maybe it's healer. Maybe it's your peace. Maybe it's just a father. But I can't get past some things. Some things are hard. But God says, no, I want you to pray to let me be what you need me to be in your life. To go next level. Because I'm here to tell you, I felt this today. God was saying, I'm tired of being at the same level in your life. I'm saying that. I felt God saying that to me. I want to go next level. And he said to him, you're rich or old. But he said, and again, I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. It's not possible. He says, but to enter into, walk in the experience of the kingdom, what the kingdom brings. What does it bring? Come on, what does the kingdom of God bring? What does it bring? What does it bring? Peace, joy, righteousness. And he says, and when the disciples, they heard it, they exceedingly were amazed, saying, who can be saved? Just like us. How am I going to be able to do this? Listen to me. This was the language of heaven. This God disrupted their doubt with this, with God. I don't think they've ever heard this before, but this was the language of heaven with God. Say, with God. All things are possible. That is the heart of your Father. If you can get this, if you don't become hard of hearing, if you let me be with you, and if you are aware of me because I'm always with you, but you need to be aware that I'm with you. You go through something, but God's with you. Come on, amen. You might experience a situation, but God's with you. Man, if the power that we can unleash for us to know that Jesus went through so many circumstances, but the powerful thing was this, that God was with Him. That no matter what he faced, he recognized and knew that God was with him and everything was possible. No matter what thing faced him, no matter what impossibility was, it was possible because why? God was with him. I want you to be bold. I want you to know, listen to me, that God is with you. And when you understand that, all things are possible. You can face whatever it is and know all things are possible. I don't care what it is. All things are possible. But the enemy is competing for that soil of that word being rooted in you. Are you okay? Whew. Sometimes it's not easy, but here, I want you to understand, God's not logical. I wrote these down. The language of heaven is not logical. What God's word is not logical. If you're not offended with that, I'm going to offend you. Here we go. Ready? It's not logic. It's not reason. It's not rational. And it's not intellect. It's none of those things. Because the Word of God says things like, love your enemies. Say that's not logical. Luke 6:35. That's not logical. I can't reason that in my mind. I'm intellectually challenged with that word. It's not logical. So I want you to know, listen to me. I need to hear the sound in the language of heaven. Because it's not the same as the earth. But love your enemies. See, Jesus came with a message that was not the same in the earth as it is in heaven. He says, and do good and lend. He says, hoping for nothing again. I want interest. I want more. He says, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and unto the evil. My daughter tells me stories of the drive-thru at McDonald's. I want you to know, if you think it's going to get better, it's not. If you can't wait now, you're in trouble. Because you can't find employees, you can't get what you want now. I think God's stretching us. I think God's invading my comfortability that I place where he's invading. How are you going to act? Are you going to respond with heaven's language? Are you going to respond the way that I would want you to? Are you going to come forth in my image and my likeness? Or are you going to come in yours? Because I don't show up outside of my image. But I want to invade earth with my image through you. So how am I responding? How do I respond? How do I? I told my daughter, they said, what did they say, dumb and dumber or something?
Really?
Yeah, they just keep getting dumber in here. Young kids making $10 an hour. Trying to do what best they can. What am I showing? How valuable is it? It's not logical that we declare things that aren't as though they are. That's not logical. That's foolish to the world. That's foolish to the world to declare those things that are not as though they are. To confess your healing to declare that you're blessed and highly favored. It's not logical to love your enemies. It's not logical that Jesus would say things like he told Nicodemus. He says that you have to be born again. He says, why do you kid? He couldn't put his mind around it because he was speaking a different language. He says, what do you mean? I got to go back into my mother's belly? Nicodemus, listen to me. You're not hearing the right language. Last night we were watching the Olympics, and they did everything, and I'm like, what are they doing? They're messing up. Where's America? It's 200 some. Like, why are they putting us in the back? And I realized they were doing it by Japanese alphabet. I was getting upset thinking they were disrespecting us, and they weren't. They were just going by their language. They were going by their language. Not mine. You wonder why things don't go the way you're... Maybe it's because you're not, it's not going by his language. You're going by yours. Come on. Am I making sense? John 8:31. If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples. If you continue in my language, say heavenly language. Whew. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, set you free. It'll make you free. Say, it'll make me free. No problems, only possibilities. That's the gospel. That's not logical. Jesus says all things are possible. Listen to me. There's no impossibilities. It's only possible. Wherever you face an impossibility, that beside it is waiting is possibility. See, that's heaven. Listen to me. You know, do you think there's problems in heaven? Do you think there's a situation in heaven that cannot be overcome? Do you think there's any kind of circumstance? No. Everything is possible in heaven. God says, I want that language in the earth. I want that to invade your space. I want my language to be in your heart. I want it to beat. I want it to flow through your veins. I want it to stand out when others recognize, they look at you and they say, man, I want what you got. I don't want people to look at me and say, man, I don't want nothing to do with what he has. I want your love. I want to be the way that you look at people. I want to love people the way that you love people. I want to stand with people like you stand with people. Whenever circumstances was... There's a problem. There's provision. I just wrote some things down. If there's a problem, there's provision. All through the Word of God. That's why we need to read the Gospel. Because wherever there was a problem, there's provision. Wherever Jesus was, there's provision. Can we wrap our minds around this? Wherever Jesus is, there's provision. But maybe I need to learn the language. Maybe I need to listen and hear what the Father's saying. Maybe I need to be a little bit closer than what I've been. Because, man, I want you to know that Jesus got in a boat with some disciples, and there were some people that really wanted him, but they didn't want him that much. And they were on the shore, and they were standing out there, and they were watching while Jesus got in a boat. I want you to know, I want to be so desperate that you are not going away from me. I'm going to get in that boat, and I'm going with you. I don't care if it brings my life into jeopardy. I'm getting in the boat with you because nothing is greater than your presence in my life. So He got in the boat, he went out a little farther, and they're out there, and the same ones that could see Jesus weren't able to hear them because they looked to one another. What did he say? They were asking somebody else that was as far away from God as they were for advice. What's he saying? Because I can't hear because I'm so far away. I don't want that to be me. I want to be so close to him, I don't have to ask you. I know what he's saying. Listen. If I don't think about my situations like Jesus does, if I don't think about the situations that I go through like Jesus does, I'll think about it the way that the enemy wants me to. Do you get that? If I'm not thinking the way that God's language is, I'm listening to the wrong voice. We say we're believers. What do I believe in? What am I believing? What am I a believer of? These are questions that, man, I ask, that we got to ask ourselves. What am I a believer of? Because my time is valuable. Listen, when that man fell, I walked away. Listen, I just share my heart, man. I asked him, I said, hey, you thirsty? You need something to drink? He says, no, I got water. And I walked away, and he said, hey, I want to tell you, you're doing a great job. And I walked away, and I got in the trailer, and I was looking at the blueprints, and I walk out, and the guy came running over and said, he fell. I was the last person he talked to at that moment. At that second, at that time. And I began to think to myself, life? I just got done talking with him. And I could have come back and he could have been dead. But he wasn't. Praise you, God. Because God's not finished. Because he started something with him. He started something with him. He's a good man, but that's just not good enough. Because God wants to invade his life. But life is short. I need to know that. I need to be at a place in my heart where that I recognize it and know that. I got to be at a place where, am I at the right place in my life that if I die today, where would I be? Where would I be tomorrow? Where would I be? Come on. There's so much to talk about. God wants to express himself out of his image, not ours. I don't know, there's a man, I can't remember his name right this second, but Graham Cook, I think is his name. And he said something. He said that he was walking in church and he was going to a meeting in church. And sometimes there's a moment where that you know, man, this is going to be an uncomfortable moment. You just feel it. And this lady's walking towards him, and they're walking down the hallway, and they're the only ones there. He's like, I can't avoid this, and I feel like I really want to. But these were going to collide, that God had something. God's got something happening in your life. Whether you believe it or not, something is happening on your behalf. If you let God work. Miracles take place every single day. God just wants you to be aware of it. Walking down the hallway, and they walk down, and he's just supposed to say hi, but it didn't happen that way because she grabbed them. And she goes, Are you a prophet? Are you the prophet? He says, so they say. He says, well, then I got to say something to you. He says, listen to me. I was just diagnosed yesterday with terminal cancer. I have 6 months to live. My question is you. Will I die or will I live? So am I. He said, listen, there's a couple things I don't do. I don't tell people when children are going to be born, when you're going to get married, and when you're going to die. But I will tell you this. This is what I opened with. What is it that you want me to be, that you want to be to me, that you couldn't before? I want you to pray that prayer, he said. What do you want me to be to you that I couldn't be before? What is it that God, he wants to be to you today that he couldn't be to you yesterday? I want to know that. He says, pray that prayer to God. Pray that prayer every single day. So the first day they go through, called him up. He says, listen, nothing's happened. I don't got an answer. Keep praying. It goes all through the thing every single day, all the way up 13, 14, 15, 16. And finally, on the 16th day, as she's praying this, asking God with all of her heart, God, I want you to be what you need to be. God, what you couldn't be to me yesterday, God, I'm asking you today to be that. I need answers. I don't know. I don't know what it is. God's answers were different. So here it is. He's walking into a grocery store. She's walking to a grocery store. And as she's walking in there, there was a lady with two little kids that walked up to her, and she recognized her and realized that this was her friend that she hasn't seen for years. And they began to talk. And while they're talking, the daughter looked up and says, Mommy, Mommy, shh. Mommy, Mommy, shh. After three times, she finally looked at her daughter. She goes, what? Mommy, that's her. That's who? That's the girl in my dream. So what do you mean? She says, Mommy, no, that's the girl. And she's looking at the lady's looking. It's like, and the daughter, the mother began to cry. And she says, what does she mean by that? She goes, well, she was sitting in God's office in a dream. And on Jesus' desk was a picture of you. In a frame, it was your picture. And my daughter asked, who's that? She goes, it's somebody you're going to meet. And when you do, I want you to give this to her. And hand her a piece of paper. She woke up with that paper in her hand. True story. And the mother reached over and grabbed out of the little girl's hand the paper and unfolded it for the first time. And showed the woman and says, I am your healer. And the lady began to cry. She began to weep. She recognized that God wanted to be that to her. That maybe she wasn't ready for it before. She wasn't at a place to accept it before. But at that moment she was, because she came to a place seeking God for an answer. Seeking God to be available in the midst of her situation. To be real to her. To be the possibility in the midst of impossible. Would you stand to your feet? Heaven's language is this: love is patient. That's not logical. Love is kind, does not envy, does not boast, it's not proud, does not dishonor others. This is the heaven language that I'm looking for. It's not self-seeking. It does not easily anger. It does not keep a wrong. Thank God for that. Come on, amen. Thank God for that, that it doesn't keep a wrong. He says, and love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. I want to speak heaven's language to you. I want to speak heaven's language to my family, to my daughter. I want to speak heaven's language, because life is short. And I want to be available to be the image of God's likeness in the midst. I want to deliver a message that the world has not heard, cannot understand it, but I want to deliver it to them. Because they cannot take hold of a God they can't see. But by faith, you can. And you can deliver the message of God. Because they could see you. They could see you. So you be the image. God's depending on you to be that. The Bible says love never fails. It never fails. God wants to express Himself. The Bible says in 1 John 4:17, as He is, so are we in the world. As He is, so are we in the world. I will not accept anything else but to be as He is in the world. We need to seek Him. There's three things that we've got to be careful saying is, why me? You don't have to show me your hands. I know every one of you asks this. Why me? Why now? I lost my muffler pulling out of my driveway going to church with my good clothes on, Brother Dan. Why now? And I just became in awe of God with this. Praise me, it didn't happen on 80. So I began to rejoice coming down the driveway. I began to thank Him that I had to go back inside and just change my clothes. Why this? Why me? Why now? Why this? But this should be our question to God. Acts 2. And when they were amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what means this? That's the question we need to declare. What does this mean? What possibility is this before me? Because the ones below that, the other ones, they questioned it. They said, oh, they're drunk. It was when the Holy Spirit fell. They couldn't understand it with the logic, with the understanding. What does this mean to my relationship with God? What does this mean? How can this city be an opportunity for God to amaze me? That's what God wants to do, because that's the God that we serve. How can this situation, impossible situation, become a possibility with God? How can it be? How can it be? What does this do to my relationship? Does it bring me to next level? Does this take me to next level? That's the question we need to pray. And the other thing was this, verse 37. Now they heard this, and they were pricked in their hearts, and they said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? That's what my prayer is right now. What shall we do? When things and circumstances you face in life come your way, we need to just say, God, what shall I do? What shall I do, God? Tell me what to do next. Do I need to hear You more? What is it, God, Lord, that I need to place in Your heart? What do I give to You? What do I offer to You with my heart, God? Am I not surrendered? Where am I at a place to God, Lord? Where is it, God? And then I need to wait for God. And don't get distracted by anything else, come on, that will cause me to get up from my place of blessing. From my place of being amazed by the greatness of God. Don't get up. Don't get up from your place. But wait. They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Don't let anything distract you. So I pray right now, Heavenly Father, whatever it is right now, the God, Lord, that caused me to ask why this, why now? God, I surrender those thoughts to you, Father God, Lord. Lord, we surrender logic, reasoning, intellect. We surrender to you, God. Lord, we reel with this stuff. Sometimes it doesn't make sense, but God, you are the truth. You are more real than anything else that we could see with our eyes. You're the answer for every situation. You're the way. You're the truth, and you're the life. But God, Lord, I ask, God, Lord, that you give us the strength to surrender to that today, right now. Each one of us, God. Whatever thing's trying to distract us, God, we pull it up, we uproot right now, and we come in alignment with your language, with your words. I thank you, Father God, Lord, that you, your love never failed. You didn't stop, even though we killed you at the cross. Your love didn't give up. Your love didn't stop. It fulfilled what you called it to do. Even at the cross, to God, Lord, when you gave your life to God, Lord, that God, Lord, we as this world, to God, Lord, put you upon the cross. But your love didn't give up. Even though you knew the end, even though you knew, God, Lord, your love never fails. God, Lord, I pray that that be my language. And my heart for you, Father God, Lord, I don't move from where I am. I'm standing on who you are in my life. I just pray for strength. I pray right now. All these ones here tonight, all those ones that are listening, those that are watching, God, I pray your blessing upon them, your favor to shine upon them. Pray for them to be in awareness of the greatness of who you are, to be in awe, to eat from you their daily bread, to partake of life. And overflow. We'll declare with all of our hearts that we are. God's knocking. Open up and let him in. Amen. Hallelujah. He's knocking. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you.